to The Family Business.
It's a podcast about episodes of the show Supernatural.
Today we're on season 1, episode 13, week 666.
I'm Tammy. I'm the mom.
I'm Erica. I'm the first daughter.
I'm Jasmine. I'm the second daughter.
And it's important to remember that we will never discuss spoilers, meaning that we won't discuss future episodes on this podcast. So since we're on episode 13, Route 66, we won't talk about anything after that until we make a podcast about it. So it starts with the previously again.
Yeah. I'm not really feeling these.
I usually like a previously, but this one just, it feels so gimmicky.
That's what I was thinking, too. It feels real, like, cliche, and...
We gotta find Dad.
Yeah.
I don't like them because it's always, like, a interpretation of somebody else's highlight reel. Like,
yeah.
It's, like, what they thought was important, and it's usually not, like, what I think is important, so...
And it felt way over-dramatized.
We open, after the previously, we open to a dude driving on his car on a, like, dark, dusty
Cape
road.
Gerardo,
on a dark desert highway.
No, he's in Missouri, not in California.
Cold wind in my hair.
Did he have hair?
Oh my god, Erica, you can't just ask if people have hair.
I just thought that he had, like, a buzz cut. I thought it was, like, no hair.
It's still hair. He had hair.
Whatever.
Maybe he's not the one singing.
Eyebrows.
That's hair.
Cool wind in my eyebrows.
I imagine, like, really long eyebrows blowing in the wind.
And maybe he's not the one singing it. Maybe it's just on the radio. Or maybe the other guy's singing it.
No, what was on the radio was the news.
Yeah, and then it started cutting out.
Use your imagination.
Like. I don't have to. It was already done.
There will be a Hotel California in here somewhere.
I hope so. That would be cool. I like that song.
Doesn't seem like you do. Poo-pooing it all over the place.
So, the radio, yeah, you said the radio's cutting out, and the dude's looking pretty drowsy, like, he's like...
And I know that feeling.
Yeah, she's also looking pretty drowsy.
Guys, I haven't had sleep yet.
Yes, you had sleep.
Barely.
You had tiny sleep. But in the rearview mirror, we see, I thought it was a semi-truck at first, but it wasn't.
No, it was just like a monster truck.
It's like our neighbor's truck. Our neighbor's the killer. I just saw a shadow of somebody walking by. Just as I said, our neighbor's the killer.
Dun dun dun.
But yeah, it's getting like super aggressive.
Revs the engine real hard. It starts following him.
In this I have, it's non-consensual bumper cars.
It really is.
Yeah. And the sizes don't match. So if you're going to play bumper cars, make sure everybody's okay
equal.
With it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pick on someone your own size.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe make sure you're, like, at a fair where it's actually bumper cars.
And not in the middle of the night on a dark road.
Because that's dangerous.
And then the radio comes back on. And it's fine.
And dude's like, whew, that was a close one.
And we're led into this false sense of security, which can pretty much sum up Supernatural.
Were we, though? I mean, who really thought it's fine?
It's true.
I don't think any of us did.
I think the guy might have, though. And then?
Spooky truck is back.
It's in front of him.
Bow, bow, bow.
Which, that would be very startling.
Yeah, I'm startled by lights anyway.
Exactly.
But to just, like, have that big fucking angry truck with its lights, like, right at your window level.
After it was just smashing into you.
Yep, that would be horrible. Does this remind you of anything?
My fear of driving.
Oh, okay. That's not what I was going for. It reminded me of when we got... Do you remember the ghost truck we talked about?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, it reminded me of the ghost truck, which, honestly, I don't have a lot of details on. It was kind of a blur. But we went to Starbucks one morning after Jasmine got off work, and it was closed. But we looked it up on our phones, and it said it was going to open in, like, 5 minutes. So what I was going to do is go back around, right?
Or the drive-thru.
And so I pull out, I check both ways, I see no car. It's a big empty parking lot.
No one in sight.
And she's pretty observant, too. She saw no one. Maybe I was tired and I was overlooking or whatever. No.
I was wide awake.
So I pull out and, like, maybe, like, a foot and a half out of the drive-thru, I hear screeching behind me. I'm like, what the fuck? And I look at me, and then I look at my mirror, and there's a truck, like a little, not like a big, huge truck, but like one of those.
Just like an average-sized truck.
Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, that's weird. I don't remember seeing the truck.
And he was in a hurry.
Yeah, he really wanted that coffee. So I go, because I'm in front. So I go to drive. I'm like, okay, everything's fine now. Nobody got hit. So I go to drive, and he pulls up on the driver's side and kind of boxes us in. And then he starts yelling in Spanish. Neither one of us knows very much Spanish.
We know a little bit, enough to get by with a small conversation.
But not with an angry man yelling it at you at, like, 4 a.m. through a window.
All he was saying in English was, be careful. Which, I mean... I don't know about you guys, but that sounds pretty ominous to me.
Yeah. And he was really angry. It was like he was looking for a fight.
Yeah.
And then he realized that we weren't looking for a fight and tried to make it like it was our fault.
And every
he almost hit us.
Every time we would try to pull away from him, he would pull up as well.
To box us in a little more.
And it was so weird.
And then... I take a minute, because I have PTSD. It freaked me out. I'm driving. So I put my car in park after he yells at us. He drives away through the drive-thru.
Starbucks is still closed at this point.
It's not even, like, it's not even several minutes. It's just, like, 20 seconds to get myself to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go to drive through the Starbucks parking lot, and he's nowhere. And the street goes on the side of the thing.
We would have been able to see him.
He's literally nowhere. And it was the weirdest experience. And we don't know what the fuck happened.
You guys didn't watch him when he left?
He went through the drive-thru.
He went through the drive-thru.
But when we went through the drive-thru, he wasn't there. Because Starbucks was still closed. I didn't feel like waiting anymore. So I just went through the drive-thru. When I drove through... I didn't see him on the street. We didn't see him in the parking lot. It was weird.
That was pretty crazy.
Anyway. So.
Were you on Route 666?
No, but we do call it the ghost truck.
There you go.
And he was really angry. I don't know why. But he was pretty angry.
We will never know what we were supposed to be careful of.
Life.
That's deep.
That's what he thought. He thought he was doing us a favor.
Very angry favor.
He's like, life sucks, be careful.
Was that last year?
No, that was just before COVID.
Yeah. Oh, be careful, COVID. Man, he knew.
He had all the answers.
He was trying to warn you so hard.
And he was just freaking out about it. He was a time traveler.
Like, be careful. 2020's gonna fucking suck.
Real bad at 5 a.m.
So, he was a time traveler, and instead of a DeLorean, he had, like, a little truck.
Sounds reasonable.
In case he needed to bring anything with him.
I was gonna say, I'd probably want to take stuff with me.
So then, the truck, like, hits the car so bad that it, like, flips a little bit, and...
A little bit.
Tumbles around and dude dies.
That thing looked like a gymnast in the Olympics.
It says later, it says that he went over a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't show that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, there was no cliff. Like, he went through, like, this weird, like, junkyard looking thing.
Yeah, and there were, like, some trees and stuff.
I thought he went through a...
Was it a construction zone? It was no, something.
I thought it was a graveyard. I thought there were tombstones.
I don't think there were... I think there were rocks.
I thought there were a bunch of tombstones.
There was a bunch of stuff. I couldn't really tell what it was.
Okay, we'll check it out later.
And then in my notes I have, is dude dead? Because it doesn't really say at this point. Right. Like, we're just like, oh, dude had a tumble, and he could potentially be dead, but we don't really know.
Right.
Okay.
So then it goes to Sam and Dean. And Sam is looking at a map. Dean is on the phone.
They're on their way to Pennsylvania.
I don't know why. I would like to know what was in Pennsylvania.
I know, right? Is it another case? Like,
or did they think something about their dad's in Pennsylvania?
Right.
Like, that would have been cool to know.
But last time we knew he was in California, so.
Yeah, but he probably moved around fast. Why is he
moving all around?
He's hunting demons. That's what he said. Demons are fast. And Dean's looking, obviously, like, I wouldn't say annoyed, but, like,
agitated.
Exasperated, yeah. Maybe. Like, he wishes whatever's happening wasn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says that an old friend called. When he gets off the phone, he tells Sam an old friend called and they don't want to hang out. I mean, maybe.
Hey, my dad just died. Want to hang out?
And Dean's like, I guess.
He's like, no, I want to make out.
Ew. That would be a sleazy...
Hey, it wasn't me, it was Dean.
That would have been a sleazy line to use at that time. I'm glad he didn't go there.
It fits his personality.
No, it doesn't.
He's sleazy, okay?
No.
You know he is.
Not that sleazy.
He's gross.
Mom, do you think you would say that?
I think he's pretty gross.
Yes, I think he's gross, but I don't think he's that gross. Okay, so then she says that her dad died and she needs help because it seems weird. That's all we really get. In the car, Sam...
I don't know, this didn't seem that weird to me. Like, even with all her reasoning behind it, it seems like...
I thought the lack of two sets of tracks was weird.
And she seemed to think it was weird, too, because she kept saying it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
But the real part, the real information that we learn during this is... Sam wants to know, well, how does she know what we do?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Dean spilled the beans.
We find out. He indeed told somebody. The family secret.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I like, Sam's like, you never mentioned her. So he's like, why is this girl so important if you never mentioned her, right, but you decided to tell her? And I don't think Sam would be opposed to someone knowing.
But yeah, because he seems pretty mad, like, when he first mentions it.
And he says, rule number one.
Yeah.
We do what we do and we shut up about
it. But then later on in the episode, once he sees that Dean, like, actually cares, then he's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Like, I felt like he was more upset that he
didn't
tell his girlfriend,
right,
because he followed the rules. And he's like, these are the rules.
That could potentially have been the death of her.
Exactly. And so I felt like he was pretty justified in the right to be pissed off because he's like, we literally have a rule. You need to follow the rules. Right. I followed the rules. My girlfriend died.
But you didn't follow the rules. They tell people anyway, like when they're helping them and stuff.
And I feel like Dean had to have told this rule sounds like Dean said it. So I feel like Sam as a kid might have tried to tell someone something and Dean got mad and said, told him that this is rule number one.
Right, yeah.
We do what we do and we shut up about it. Because he didn't want Sam to be looked at as a freak or to be taken away from their dad,
uh-huh,
or whatever. So I think that, like, Sam is, and I'm just imagining, but it doesn't sound like Sam's wording at all.
Right, yeah.
And then, in my notes, when they get to the newspaper place, right, where Cassie's talking to the mayor, I have Cassie and Dean have heart emoji eyes. Because
they're like, yes, I put that too.
And they, like, really... I put
lovey eyes.
Yeah, they just look really, like, happy to see each other. But also, like...
awkward as fuck.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, you're a pretty person and I missed you, but this is weird.
Yeah.
Well, I was just struck by Cassie being back at work. And I was like, oh, this seems pretty quick. Like, her dad just died.
Well, I think she was thinking it was racially motivated, so she was like, we gotta get this out.
Right. I think it was, like, to help her. I think it was, like, a selfish reasoning, I guess. Which is totally justified in this case.
Yeah, I think she thought it would help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they're at the newspaper where Cassie works. And our neighbor starts up his big truck.
He's gonna go kill someone.
His murder truck.
Okay. So, they're at the newspaper. And Sam and Dean walk in. And Cassie and the head of the newspaper,
Jimmy,
I didn't have his name, are talking to the mayor.
Mayor Todd.
Good old Mayor Todd. And
Mayor Todd Lincoln.
That's
not really his name.
And then what happens?
They're saying they want them to not print that the story about it just being racially motivated, because that's their interpretation. They're saying, until we have the facts, please withhold from posting anything. We don't think that there was malintent. We just are going by the facts, and there was no other car.
Yeah, they're saying he lost control of the vehicle.
And Kathy's like, well, that's weird, because two that people now lost control of the vehicle. And she honestly thought that it was a weird situation. Which I would say, all things considered, maybe somebody overlooked a dent, right? But there was one set of tracks, and it was pretty beat up otherwise.
And is this where she says that her dad worked at a... this is her dad worked at a car lot?
Not yet, but it happens. I'm just
confused because... obviously, he lost, like, by what they're saying, he lost control of the vehicle. There's gonna be dents all over that thing.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, you can tell, like, the difference of dents, you know?
Uh-huh.
But still, like, it could be easily, like...
also, I do remember...
it hit a weird part and ended up getting a dent right there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't necessarily mean he got hit by a truck.
I do remember one of the times when the truck rammed it from behind. The trunk popped open and the entire back windshield shattered out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was pretty beat up. Like, it wasn't just, like...
well, also, we gotta remember, it fell off a cliff.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot.
So, maybe most of this damage was then blamed on falling off the cliff.
Yeah, true.
I'm wondering if... if anybody knows, send us a message. I'm wondering if there is something like, you know how there's forensic anthropology or forensics for crime scene?
Mm-hmm.
Where anthropology looks at the bones, usually, but crime scene would also investigate, like, the skin and the organs and the bruisings, right? So I'm wondering if there's something like that for cars at a crime scene.
I have seen, yeah, we saw, remember with the JonBenet?
Yeah.
No. Was that the JonBenet?
Yeah, it was.
Where they, I'm also they mixing
do,
up.
They do all kinds of
making a murderer.
Cause all they different have, kinds of tests.
Yeah, they do.
But would they do that if they didn't expect anything, you know?
No, like, not, that's why the, like, the.
That's why it took so long.
The officers, like, the investigating team that's there first, that's why they're. It's so important, because if they feel that it's warranted, yeah. Then yes, but if they don't, then it's like, what? Like, yeah. We're gonna waste all our resources on this.
Maybe like, it could be pushed through, like, how Cassie's doing. Like, if it's fought for, they might be like, okay, fine.
Or if they find more evidence leading to
it. But it wouldn't just be done.
Okay. That makes sense, because I was like, this has gotta exist, I just never heard of it.
Because
you don't watch enough true crime stuff, that's why. Don't worry, we'll fix that.
No, thank you. I'd rather not.
Man, that JonBenet one was really cool, though.
That was. And then, also, what I was thinking of was the Making a Murderer, which I don't think either one of you watched, but the lawyer in that case went to great lengths to have every centimeter of that car processed in a way that would show absolutely everything that had happened.
So then, after they talk a little bit in the newsroom, it shows them back at Cassie's, but we find out it's not really Cassie's, it's Cassie's mom.
Yeah. Because, that's a nice house.
Yeah, and she's staying with her mom, she said, because her mom's having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't really think much of, because, of course you're having a hard time if you just lost somebody you loved. Like, I didn't think there was more to it than that.
Yeah.
But later, we find out that there is. So.
Were her mom and dad still together?
I think so.
That was something I wasn't clear
on. It doesn't flat out say, but it seemed like they were very much...
very close.
Yeah.
Yeah, that house was nice. I love that house. Mm-hmm. I like the dark, cozy feeling of it.
I did not. But I can admire it from
afar.
Yeah. I wouldn't want it personally.
But you could also, yeah, like, you're not saying it's bad, just not your thing.
Yeah.
Cassie's talking and she says that the mom went off somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I wish she wouldn't go alone. She's freaking out right now. And I'm just thinking, because later we find out what the mom knows, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, I wouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
If I knew that it was the ghost truck from...
exactly.
...the crazy murder man.
It didn't fit. Like, maybe she was trying to protect her daughter by staying away?
Maybe, but...
I don't know. It seemed weird.
I think she was just really messed up. I think she was just,
didn't care anymore.
She just couldn't...
like, restless.
...be around people. Yeah. And, like, she was just, like... trying to process all of it.
And then... Cassie goes on to say that the dad was scared, and the mom said he was seeing a awful-looking black truck.
It was pretty awful-looking, I guess.
And they never mentioned the driver. And well, I thought...
the lights are so bright, like...
and it's a tall truck. You wouldn't
be able to see, yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I just thought that... awful-looking black truck was a funny way to describe
that
a vehicle.
That is a weird description.
Not like a lifted truck.
Yeah, not like a big country truck. Not like, anything, really. Like,
yeah.
Oh, and also, this is where we found out Cassie was skeptical of Dean's job.
I mean, who wouldn't be, though?
I don't even know. I tried to think about this.
Oh, that's cool. Tell me more.
And I don't know. I definitely wouldn't think they were making it up.
Yeah.
You know what? I would think another fucking crazy.
Well, that's just because you have bad luck. And crazy people always find you.
I would think. And then I'd come home and tell you guys, and you guys would be like, another fucking crazy.
Get away from that crazy person.
Yeah. And so I could sympathize with Cassie when she was like, I thought you were dangerous. Yeah. Yeah, I would too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cassie goes to discuss, like, the details of the
crazy
site. And she's like, it was raining and super muddy, but for some reason,
one
set of tracks. And the first person killed was the dad's best friend, Clayton. Every time I hear the name Clayton, I think of Tarzan, because that's that mean guy's name.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I didn't even know that either.
I remember Tarzan.
I don't often hear the name Clayton.
Yeah. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Learn something new every day.
Tarzan super fan over here.
Yeah, Tarzan's the best. So, Clayton and the dad owned a dealership together, and the accident was exactly the same. Apparently, they both fell off this
cliff. Which, that's like the only suspicious thing to me out of this whole thing, really.
That they both fell off a cliff, or that they knew each other? Or
all of it. Like,
that's the suspicious
part. It's
like,
okay, yeah. Both similar circumstances, same death, same situation.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Like, that's a lot of coincidence.
And so Sam then says out loud, "You think this vanishing truck ran him off the road?" So she says that she's skeptical, like we said. But then Dean goes, "If I remember correctly, you thought I was nuts."
Yeah.
And, like, I understand how that could hurt Dean's feelings. But he's
got to...
You have
to understand.
Yeah. How would you not if you've never seen anything like that?
Yeah.
Also, here's where it all started totally making sense to me, because this is where I could see when she starts saying she thought it was an excuse.
Yeah.
That she thought,
well, that's
he was
later,
just
but I go,
making
yeah.
up stuff, and I'm like, I would think that too. Like, I would think, okay, what the hell? Like, because that's been my experience. Like, making up stuff, lying about everything, and then me going, you know what, I don't really care what the truth is, I just want out of this.
See, like, and I wouldn't think any of that. I would think they really believed it, and...
Whether or not it's true.
Yeah, maybe they're schizophrenic, who knows.
Yeah.
But I would try my best to, like...
Understand where they
figure it out, yeah.
I think that... It's weird because Cassie says two contradicting things in my mind. She says, one, she thought he was trying to get out. And then two, she says that she thought it was dangerous. And
right.
So I don't think those two ideas
would mesh. That's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
I felt
maybe
like
she was conflicted. She was like, I don't know what's going on, but I don't like it.
Yeah. I felt like at first she was like, oh my God, he's crazy. And possibly dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think later on, like, the more she thought about it, she was like, he just isn't comfortable with this vulnerable feeling, and he just wants out. So, whatever.
But what a, like, that's not what a normal person would think of to lie about to get out. You know? Like, he could have said anything else.
And he didn't have to add the hunting thing.
Exactly.
Me and my dad have to go.
My dad has a job somewhere else. I gotta go.
Yeah.
And that would be the end of it. Like, to me, it wouldn't make sense to think he was just lying about it. Because that's...
I feel like that's an elaborate lie. But usually lies get elaborate.
But it's like a weird one. It's not even, like, realistic.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, think of that show where you guys watch that guy lie about aliens.
That was a good show.
That was so crazy.
But that was my point is, that's an elaborate fucking lie, like, to just make up the situation, and then...
That was for a very specific reason, though. It wasn't just to get away from someone.
That's true.
It was to, like...
When he was already leaving anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was to control, and...
Yeah.
My notes I have, Mrs. Robinson is in a tizzy. Because when she walks in, she looks all, like, frantic and kind of disheveled.
This lady.
Right?
This lady was a little too intense.
Yeah.
Just a little too over the top for me. Later on in the episode, I was like, oh, come on.
Uh-huh.
Like, and usually I like the emotional displays and such, but I was like, well, this is a little bit too much.
So they say sorry for the loss, and they want to talk. Which, why would I talk to these fucking strange boys in my house?
And why are these strange boys in my house?
And, I mean, they're hanging out with Cassie, so she didn't think that was too weird. But what I think is weird is asking her to talk about him.
That's what I thought was weird, too. I was like, of course she's not in the fucking mood. Like,
yeah,
you don't even know her.
And it's not like they're like, oh, these are my friends who are also police officers.
Right.
Or What they just say, these are my friends.
They have nothing to do with it.
But they want to talk to you about your trauma. And, yeah. Like, that's weird.
Like, no, fuck off.
We see... Oh, at the truck. So the truck comes in now. And the engine's revving. It's behind another car. What I'm having a problem with is I never fully know if the person getting hit by this truck is actually dead.
Which I don't understand. Because
they
don't.
Yeah. They're not completing
the whole thing.
Yeah, and so it's just showing, so you don't know what's going on. Like, where's that person going?
I thought it was pretty obvious. I'm pretty sure he had his eyes open and was, like, just, like, staring blankly.
I think that might be part of it, because I watch it on my phone and it's
dark. Yeah, I was watching it on my phone, too.
And yeah, so... it looked, especially, the next one, I believe.
The next car accident?
Yeah.
So,
It was obvious, you should have... feel like you should have known.
In the next one, I just remember thinking, why is his lip like that? Because, like, half of his lip was gone. Randomly. It was weird.
I didn't see that.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, I'll find a screenshot to show you guys. It was really bizarre. Because I was like, how would that have happened? Like, I was trying to think of it logically, and I was like...
He bit it well.
It was like a whole, like, slash. Like, it was very cleanly... sliced, so maybe glass?
Yeah, probably.
But it was weird.
Just sliced the lip right off.
Yeah. But only half of it.
What a weird
makeup choice.
That's what we're here for. Weird observations. So then Cassie's at the crime scene.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
The best dropping like flies comment kind of angered me, because I was like, yeah, if they're your best and they're dropping like flies, wouldn't you think something's weird?
Yeah.
Especially because they're all related, like, not related, right. But like, related in the sense that they know each other.
Short amount of time. This is all happening. Like, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Same circumstances.
Yeah. And at this point, it is looking racially motivated. Yeah. And that's scary, because that could escalate real quick. And so I was like...
it's pretty escalated already.
Yeah, and so I feel like at this point the mayor's just in denial.
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor's like, what do you want me to do? And she's like, you could start with closing the road. Which, I feel like that wouldn't be a good idea. Maybe increase patrols or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know what it is yet, so she could just be like, hey, let's just get more security, because the mayor says... there's only one road in and out of town.
Yeah.
Closing
it felt like a weird thing to me. I was like, well, what would be the point of that? Because
yeah,
if it's a person, like, it doesn't matter where it is.
And then we find out that the truck goes to Cassie's house later, so it's not even like...
it only stays to that road. It's not...
and if it were, like, a serial killer, right, they would find a new road.
Exactly.
Right. It might be a little bit, but they would just redirect.
Yeah.
So then Sam and Dean just waltz into this crime scene.
I know! Don't they always?
But this time they're not pretending to be anybody.
Yeah, they just walk up and then...
like, yeah, they're my friends.
And they're like, could you check for additional damage? The man's like, who the fuck are you? She's like, these are my friends.
Yeah, do it.
And they're
here to make sure you do your job. So answer to them.
And the mayor used to be a police officer. Like, he has all these qualifications, and there's these two.
Which, I like that they threw that in at the end, because at first I was like, why the fuck is the mayor there? Like, what?
What does he have to do with anything?
Yeah. How small of a town is this? Like, the mayor goes to every really crime scene.
Yeah. I was like, what does he have to do with it?
I just thought it was funny, because they're like, telling the mayor what to do, but they don't have any qualification.
So Sam and Dean are at the hotel, and this is when Sam says, you know, I think it's real weird that you guys are always looking at each other,
but never at the same time.
Which I thought was really funny because, like, you've seen it already in the show. Like, yeah. He'll look at her and then look away, and then she'll look at him and then look away.
And always with the heart emoji eyes.
Uh-huh. Like, so longingly. Like, oh, the one that got away has returned.
It's right here in front of me.
They're not away anymore.
But no, I can't do it. Like, it's so dramatic.
Yeah. And what I like best about any time Sam talks about this is he's smiling like an idiot.
Yes,
he's
me
like
too.
A little puppy, and he's yes. like, yeah. And then I see you guys staring at each other, and it's weird.
Yeah,
and like it's so cute.
He's like
it's
so excited.
Such a little brother thing to do. It's uh-huh. like such a younger sibling
move.
Like I see you. I see you. Yeah, I know you think you're big and tough, uh-huh. and I know you think you got you know balls of steel. But guess what? Your balls are soft.
Yikes.
Soft balls.
Like boba?
Not squishy. Not squishy. They're just soft.
Oh,
they're
okay.
like, they
like
have...
Like velvet.
They have some...
Balls of velvet. Great balls of velvet.
I know you think you got balls of steel. You got balls of velvet.
Crushed velvet.
So then they go and meet up with the friends.
Well, I don't know one friend's name, but I know the other ones, and it's Ron Stubbins.
That's good.
That's the greatest name.
That's a good name.
I actually have loved this name in my notes. Ron Stubbins. That's so good.
Well,
how did they know to go to this guy?
That's what I was just gonna say. It was a really random scene.
And really abrupt.
Yes. And I was so confused.
That happens a couple times in this episode for me where I'm like,
I was
wait,
gonna say that
how
too.
Did they get here?
Yeah, this episode didn't really flow.
Toward the end, when they, like, figured out, like, with the Dorian stuff, it just, like, felt, like, smooshed together.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
And I couldn't figure out how it got there.
Yeah.
It just felt so strange to me.
There's a couple times where I write in my notes, how did they know to do this, or how did they know to go there?
Yeah.
And I thought maybe I was just off, and I wasn't really paying attention, because I didn't like, really love this episode. But...
Yeah, they briefly mention Dorian. She does.
Later, a little later.
Yeah. But it's like... You can tell it's important because it's, like, out of nowhere and it doesn't really make sense. But you're, like, still at the same time, like, it's a big jump.
Yeah.
This episode is similar to, in the last episode, you know that opening scene? That was so jarring. It was the...
Oh, yeah.
The one where they got the kids
with
out of
the
house
and
then he got electrocuted.
In the cabinet.
It's similar to that to me. Like... There's just a lot of questions that don't get answered.
Yeah. I felt like they were just trying to...
Rush it.
Yeah, and, like, they were so worried about Dean's storyline that they didn't really care about...
All the other stuff.
Yeah, they were just like, oh, I don't know, just, like, throw
it in. Throw it in there.
I think they wanted to add, like, character depth.
Right. Which I appreciate.
Yeah, yeah.
But
at the same time...
Yeah.
Don't let the story...
Exactly.
And overall, I like the Supernatural writers, so don't think that we're just going to talk
definitely.
Shit on them. But this episode wasn't the best.
This one, to me, is way worse than Bugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Bugs.
So I don't know.
See, I didn't really like Bugs, but I didn't think it was a bad episode. It was just me not liking that episode. This one, I just feel like it's missing some stuff.
Yeah,
like,
it's missing a lot for me. Which is weird, because I like seeing the person alive.
Yeah, I do too. I love that part.
I love that. But it didn't feel like an episode to me.
It didn't feel, like, complete to me. And
yeah.
It didn't feel like there was just too much focus on Dean and Cassie. And it left everything else flat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just portrayed... The only part that Sam really played in this was, like, the little brother that
kinda
was like,
yeah,
that was like, so, you're in love, oh, and like...
And they kind of
played that up real bad with this episode, especially, like, even in the end when he's, like, telling Dean where to go and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, well, I figured it would maybe work. You know, like, that's such a, like,
I know.
Little kid thing to say, like, a little brother thing, like, well, you didn't get hurt, did you? Like,
yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you didn't die.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I thought it was really weird. Like, that's not exactly something he would usually do.
Yeah,
it was a little careless. At the end, especially careless. Yeah. But anyway, I liked in this scene that they went with, that they were there because they're with the insurance company.
Oh, I like that, too.
Another different job.
Yeah. And they're like, and like, okay, I don't know if, because I always try to put myself in that situation. If they come up to me, am I going to buy this or am I going to? Right. So right away, if they ever say, I'm FBI, I'm the cop, I'm the whatever, I want to see all the all the credentials. I want to talk to somebody. I want to verify that these are who they say they are. But if they say they're an insurance person.
And then he showed like a little pamphlet paper thing. Yeah. Okay, well, why would you pretend that?
Exactly.
And my thing is, why would an insurance person talk to a friend?
They do that.
Yeah. That's weird.
They do that.
Because they said for, like, medical reasons and stuff, to see if he was at fault or, like, all that, you know?
And if somebody's willing to talk to them, they talk to them to try to find out what they...
I thought it was weird when they brought up the truck.
Yeah.
That was a little weird, but I guess that could have been with medical...
Whoever...
He was hallucinating. Been, yeah.
Whoever he was with, not Ron Stubbins, but the other guy, he was ominous, and he was weird to me, and I was like...
I don't know anything.
Yeah, he was just kind of, like, staring off, and there was this one time long ago, and I was like, oh, this is weird. Okay. Just happened to talk to this guy.
Yeah, and he said there was a string of deaths in the 60s.
Which, I gotta be honest, this is kind of the first time where I perked up during the episode, because I wanted to hear about that. And so I was like, oh, this is good. That was
interesting, and then I feel like they didn't even do anything with it.
Did you perk back down when he said they all disappeared in a big, nasty black truck?
Yeah, and I was like... Well, I guess we're not getting far with this.
Yeah.
Because the adjectives they use to describe this truck are ridiculous.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Awful, nasty. Why? It's just a truck.
A big truck.
It's such a weird thing to me. And then they ask if they caught the guy, and they say, nope.
It was the 60s, no one cared.
It was the 60s and no one knew a fucking thing.
They were still racist as a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. So then they're walking away and Dean's like, well, you know the Flying Dutchman, right?
And then I thought of the one from SpongeBob.
So did I.
Oh, I thought of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, that's a good one, but no.
That's Davy Jones.
Yeah. And the Flying Dutchman.
Doesn't you?
Oh, yeah, duh.
Good job, you're so tired.
Oh, I am so tired.
Because even in SpongeBob, it's Davy Jones' ship.
Yeah, I know.
And he's a weird little ghosty guy. I want him to have to go de-haunt the Flying Dutchman now. I want that episode.
That's the real content we're here for.
Here I have Sam calls Dean. Who's with Cassie? Does anyone know what this means?
Sam calls Dean. When?
I have no idea. It's right after Ron Stubbins.
Are you talking about after the bedroom scene?
Oh, yeah.
No.
That's gotta be what you mean. That's the only time Sam calls Dean.
I feel like it's not
or
that.
Or when they're driving.
When was the bedroom scene before the mayor died?
Yeah. Because he calls to tell him the mayor died.
Why did I write who is with Cassie? I know who's with Cassie. Dean's with Cassie.
No, I think you were saying Dean, who is with Cassie.
Yeah.
Like, you're adding details.
Sam calls Dean, who is with Cassie.
Not. Mm-hmm. Sam calls Dean, who's with Cassie?
Mm-mm.
Well, then I don't know.
Okay.
But
On to the next scene where Dean is with Cassie.
But who is with Cassie?
Actually, no. It wasn't even that scene yet. Dean is with Sam. And Sam, this is where Sam really gets all smiley and he's like, you love her.
Well, yeah.
And
this is where they're outside.
Outside the Impala.
Okay, yeah.
And then Dean's like, no, it was stupid to get that close to someone. Look how it ended.
And I'm like, you right.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm like, no.
Barriers.
No. Unearthers.
Don't like anyone.
People suck.
And then we find out that Dean loved her, but she dumped him.
Because she thought he was a fucking nutso.
I thought that was a good part when Sam's like, and then you dumped her.
Yeah.
And then he's quiet and he's oh, she dumped you. Like, his realization of that is like...
he didn't even consider that as a possibility.
Oh my god.
Uh-huh.
You got dumped.
Yeah.
The dumper has been dumped.
Uh-huh. The dumper.
And he actually cared for someone.
Love it.
And then they dumped him.
Broke his heart.
She loves that it broke his heart.
Who doesn't?
Me.
And then he shows up at Cassie's. And they are awkward.
My favorite scene is when they're both standing in the doorway.
Yes, I love that.
And they're like, anywhere but each other.
That was a weird camera thing that is never done.
And I really liked it.
And I loved it because it showed how awkward it was.
You know what it also kind of looked like? It might have been done before. So, in Scarecrow, the apple orchard where Dean and that girl, I forget her name, were tied up. Emily. They're tied
Daphne?
Up. No, not Daphne. Emily. So, Emily and Dean are tied up, and you can see the apple orchard sprawled out behind them. And it was like a similar angle, or camera setting, or whatever. But
I don't know, I don't remember that one.
I don't remember
it. But that one was for, I just thought it was really pretty.
I remember seeing it, like, angled, with, like, Dean in the forefront, and then, like...
I'll show you the picture. I have it on the Instagram.
But...
it's a really good picture.
Okay. I'll believe you.
Okay.
This time.
Good. But, yeah, it's a similar angle, but I think for different reasons. I think that one was to showcase the prettiness of the scene.
Uh-huh.
And
this was to be awkward.
Yeah. And so...
which I really liked. I thought it was gorgeous, too.
Yeah.
Like, it looked really nice.
It was a visually appealing scene.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh, I like that.
And it was like the awkwardness was in the air.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was really, like, delicately acted, and it was nice.
So, she says she's writing a tribute to Jimmy in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Which, at this point, I'm like, that's weird. But then we find out more about Jimmy later. And how so that made sense, but...
I was like, what? Why?
Just because he worked on the paper? I guess, okay, that... but it seemed weird to me. And she starts telling Dean about the Dorian family, and this is where you said it was, like, awkward.
Yeah, it was out of nowhere, like...
yeah. I thought it was, too. But, again, I think it all just collectively adds up to the weirdness of this episode.
Right.
I just felt like it all just felt kind of off.
It really did.
I think that's the point of it, though, too.
I think that's the point of Dean's part. I don't know if that's the point of the entire episode.
Maybe. And then, so at one point she asks where Sam is.
And he, like, pounces on it.
He gets so offended.
Oh, why? Because it's easier when he's here? Like, I'm like, dude, calm down.
Got some raw emotions sticking out there.
And then Dean's like, never mind, we'll keep it strictly business.
Yeah.
And then they do some business.
And then she's like, oh, I forgot you do that. There you go. And he's like, what? Which, he was being all emotional and raw.
Uh-huh.
And then when she does, then he's like, huh? What's going on?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
And then they're like, well, I'm sorry. Well, I am too. And then sexy time.
Yeah, this felt...
intense sexy time.
Yeah, this felt like I was not prepared for this.
Right.
And I was like,
It looked like Buffy sexy times. Like, something about it just looks similar
to that. It felt really awkward to me. It felt really like it didn't belong there.
It didn't... awkward in the sense that, like...
it didn't fit the show.
Yeah, doesn't match feelings.
Like, they matched okay. Like, I don't think they
didn't feel awkward.
Yeah.
No, but it felt awkward to have this scene there.
In there, yeah.
Because I'd never witnessed anything like this in Supernatural before, and I was like, went from 0 to 100.
Yeah, like... this isn't really a spoiler, but it's not like a relationship-focused type of show.
Exactly. So to show that, I was like, oh.
To me, it felt like they were, like, trying it out. Like, oh, well, how does the audience like this? Do they prefer this? Like, because, you know, most shows have romantic parts. So they're like, oh, we're missing this. Throw that in.
And what it made me do was go, oh, here we go. This is where it turns into what every other show is, because they gotta sex it up. And they gotta...
sex it up.
Who says that?
Look what you've done to me.
Said it the other day, too.
I said sex it up, which is different than sex you up.
I mean... it's a different... I think it's similar.
It's different.
Anyway.
But I was like, oh no. Is this a sign of things to come?
Yeah.
Because I really liked it, that it didn't get... like...
mm-hmm.
That wasn't expected to carry the show. I hate shows like that. I hate shows that rely on the sex factor to, like, sell it.
It can be added in, I guess, whatever. But I don't want it to be a main focus.
I don't either, and I felt weird about it.
If it's in there, I want it to be important to the story.
Right, yeah.
So I feel like it wasn't needed in this story. Other than, I guess, the forgiveness aspect, but they could have just kissed and been okay.
Yeah. And even if they had sex, like, it didn't have to go into that
scene. I know, I felt like it was really abrupt and really,
like, and I don't mind scenes like that, don't get me
wrong. Yeah, I don't either.
But it felt weird in this.
Yeah, it felt real weird in this to me, because I was like, all right.
And it went on for a while.
Uh-huh. And it was real, like, intense.
Uh-huh. I guess it does, like, kind of make sense with their lifestyle. Because, you know, like, there are gonna be, like, random times where...
they need that?
Yeah, or, like, they really like someone or whatever. This is, like, from his past and it was emotional. So it makes sense in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole, just overall, like I said, they could have still had sex, but
the scene amount felt of the scene.
Unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't understand it.
I didn't either. It felt intrusive.
Yeah.
And then the worst part of the whole scene is when it's all said and done, and Cassian's like, we should fight more often.
Yeah. Because that's healthy.
I'm telling you guys, like, this... This whole toxic relationship thing is so embedded in people and society, and this is just a nightmare.
Like, 'cause later on, when he goes and meets up with Sam, even, he's like, oh, we'll be working things out till we're 90. Like,
yeah,
he knows that they're gonna have problems.
Which, occasional problems, okay, that makes sense.
Right.
But things where you're, like, fighting that hardcore.
Yeah.
And to then say that you hope you fight more, like, that...
yeah.
That feels weird to me.
Feels gross.
Yeah.
It's a trauma bond. I felt like this scene was weird, too.
Like, this is the one where he's missing part of his face. His lip.
Oh, this is the part?
Yeah.
So
he just gets hit head on, like, no.
And then
car.
I find out that all of the bones in his body were crushed,
and everything turned to pudding.
Yeah, which is
disgusting.
Weird, I like too. Pudding, and I was offended.
I don't like pudding, but
I don't like pudding, and maybe that's why. But this part was just weird because he's looking at the map. He's in the on the
out of nowhere, like, what.
in what looks like a big open orchard space.
Yeah.
And a tree-lined driveway. And he's there.
Yeah, and I didn't know where he was.
I didn't either. And so I was like, oh.
I was like, is he city?
Why is the truck here?
I assumed it was on the road. And I was like, is he, like, staking it out or something? Like, yeah. What's happening?
And why does he have this big, giant map? And,
yeah.
And then looks up and there's the truck. And then he just starts running. I mean, which, he was an older dude and he could run. So, there's that.
Yeah, it's just, this scene was another one that was, like, out of nowhere and really confusing.
Yeah, I felt it like really it was just thrown in there. It does, Sam call Dean? Yes. Sam calls Dean.
Yes.
Yes. And Sam calls Dean and says the mayor's dead. And then Dean's like, are you serious? And
just like, nah, I'm just joshing you.
So it shows...
April Fool's.
It kind of switches between scenes. It shows Dean and Cassie in bed. And then it shows him talking on the phone. And then it shows Sam standing at the scene where the...
car, or the body.
The murder, the mayor is. And Sam's talking, and he's standing right next to all the police. And why is he there? How did he know?
Right.
That police called him and said, hey, Sam.
Got another one.
No, remember.
The mayor's dead here.
Wasn't there an episode where they mentioned a police scanner?
Yeah.
So, maybe they still have it.
Okay. And then also, now, granted, I've never been in this situation, so I could be completely wrong here. It's a small town.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's kind of tight-knit. The mayor was just killed in a string of questionable murders of the townspeople. Nobody really knows what's going on. And here are these two new guys who are right. showing up. You're going to confide in them and allow them to be part of this investigation?
Exactly.
You're going to buddy up to these newbies who are who
Even
knows
though
who?
The girl's like, nah, they're cool, they're my friends. That doesn't seem weird. Like, it's all people she knows.
Yeah, yeah, and, like, it's already all questionable, so why would you allow more questionable stuff in? I just wasn't clear on how Sam knew, and he was there, and then right up, it looked as though he was part of the investigation. Like, he was yeah. right in there with the cops. So I was like, well, that's kind of weird.
And then it shows Cassie and Dean... and I think this is when they're at the computers, right? And the
yeah.
And another, like, disjointed scene. My notes are weird because I just have, like, random scene.
Nothing that's how it went.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's hard. I'm having a lot of, like, dead time in between. They don't hear that because we edited it out. But I'm having a lot of dead time in between because I'm like, hold on, let me find which weird scene was next.
Right.
And they talk about this guy named Cyrus Dorian, who vanished in April of 63 in the investigated, but it wasn't a solved case.
Mm-hmm.
And he was missing and never found.
And then they find out that Mayor Todd bulldozed the old Dorian house.
And his first killing was the next day.
Coincidence?
Yes. No. They all lost control of their vehicles.
And dude just had some weird condition that made his body pudding.
No, he lost control of his vehicle.
And his body pudding.
And I'm not really sure at this point. I guess Sam and Dean are together at the hotel because Cassie hears the truck revving outside.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I put, too. I was like, I think that's part of what I meant with who is with Cassie. It's just not in order. But, like, why is she by herself?
Yeah.
Like, all of this is going
on. They all
on.
Know.
They know what's yeah. up. What are they doing that they couldn't do while they were all together?
I was thinking that, too. And then, especially in the next one, like, when they go to find the body.
Right.
And they're like, oh, you stay here. Even though the truck has already come there.
Right.
And they know she's not safe there. Like, think, guys, think.
It can ram the house. Like,
My
The part I thought was the funniest in this whole fucking section right here is when she picks up her phone and she's fumbling it, right? And then she just yells, Dean.
Yeah.
High pitch.
Uh-huh.
And insanely.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's gonna know something's wrong. Mm. He doesn't know where she is. Probably at home, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't know that for sure. He doesn't know how wrong something is.
Well, it cuts out before. So she probably explains.
But it was hilarious.
I thought it was funny that she was just running through the house, closing the
shutters.
What?
Yeah.
Like, the truck can see her.
You can see me, ghost.
And then, like, there was wind blowing for some reason.
Yeah.
Inside.
Ghost wind.
Like, insanely strong wind. And I thought it was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
And then her acting was over the top. Like, she was, like, screaming.
Yeah,
like,
I overall liked her, but in this part it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then Sam and Dean show up, I'm guessing. Because
mm-hmm.
in my notes I have, Dean says, whatever controls the truck wants you afraid.
Right.
And so I was like, I thought it was just a spooky ghost truck. Now it's trying to control emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hadn't really thought about that part. I thought that it was just waiting for a good time to kill people before.
Yeah, I thought it was weird because, so, like, the first guy had been talking about seeing it, right? But then were the other guys?
The second guy had.
Somebody said.
The dad.
Yeah,
had,
somebody said that.
But the mayor
one
had.
The other.
And Jimmy, it didn't say anything about Jimmy seeing it either.
Yeah.
Unless they just didn't say, but I feel like they would if it was right. That big of a thing.
So the mom shows up, and they're like, we need information. We know you're holding out on us.
And they're like, she's like, who the fuck are you freaks?
And they're like, your daughter's in trouble. And she's like, okay, you right.
I still don't know you strange men, but I'm gonna tell you my life secret.
I'm gonna tell you the biggest secret that anyone has ever had.
And I'm going to proceed to do it while I'm having a nervous breakdown. Because this part is ridiculous.
It really is. I understand having a nervous breakdown. Like, I've had plenty. But,
usually hers are laughing.
Yeah, mine are usually hysterical laughter that turns into sobbing. But
it runs in the family.
But this was next level shit right here. So she's like, yeah, the truck belonged to Cyrus. And they're like, so it was Cyrus. Yes, we were right. And she tells them she dated Cyrus when she was younger. But then was also secretly dating, what was his name? Martin?
Martin.
Yeah, Martin.
Martin, Carton, whatever.
I said Martin.
Oh, I thought you said Barton, too.
I thought you said Barton. I was like, what? What was his name? Martin, Carton, Sarton, whatever it
Barton,
was.
Sharton.
What was his name? Barton, Sharton. I think it was Martin. Whatever. Weird, but whatever.
We're not kindergartners, I promise. We're like, ew, the sex scene. Ha ha ha, farts.
Farting and sharting.
Cooties. She was secretly dating Farting.
I see why she kept it a secret.
I can't say it with a straight face.
That's because his name is Martin.
I tried real hard. And Cyrus finds out after she breaks up with him. And he is pissed. So mad.
Because he's a racist.
And, I mean, I guess, but also, like, do you think
he's a psycho?
Yeah, like,
do you think he would have been a psycho if it were a different...
Exactly,
that's what
I was going to say.
I think he still would have been possessive.
But I don't think it would have been as extreme.
I don't know.
Have been another white
From
man.
The way she was talking to me, it made it seem like...
She was talking to you, huh?
Yes, they're friends. Anyway, go ahead, Mom. This is why I'm the favorite.
So it just seemed to me like she was trying to express that it offended him greatly.
Because he was black.
And I don't know if
I kind of took it that way.
Or if it was trying to be presented that way. But I felt like she was, like, emphasizing that because she also said we weren't, our relationship was looked down on at the time.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a small town, and
I was thinking that too, but then I was like, well,
dude's crazy.
Yeah. Definitely. It also could have just been because she was dating him at the same time.
I think it's both. And, yeah. But I think that the race thing really upset him.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
So I think otherwise he might have just been mad at her and targeted her, but
since he was black,
he targeted the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not just him either. He took it out on, like, all black people. Anyway, so Cyrus got pissed, and when he found out about the wedding that they were gonna have, he burned down the frickin' church.
And the children in it.
Yeah. What the fuck, man? Do you think he knew that there were children in it?
I don't think he knew at the time.
The way she said it, it made it sound like, so it was, like, gonna be the wedding, and he thought it was the wedding, but then they changed it at the last minute because they were gonna elope, and so the choir was like, well, today's a free day to go into the church.
And then I think what happened with him is, he probably justified it by saying, she made me do this.
Yeah.
Her behavior did this, or the other dude.
It's her fault.
The dude made me do this. So, like, I think he was still able to cope with it, because he was like, it wasn't me, it was them who did this. Like.
Which is how pretty much all these crimes go.
Mm-hmm. And then, that wasn't enough, and so he goes after Martin and beats him. But Martin is a badass.
Beats him back.
And gets the upper hand. And kills the fucker. Which, I'm not saying is right. But I understand.
I'm saying it's right in this case. I think that guy would have just came after him again.
Yeah, but I mean, and I guess the police wouldn't have helped. Yeah, back then it wouldn't have really.
Overall, I'm not saying, I'll never say every one is bad. I think the system is bad. And I think at this time it was real, real bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's not much better now. So.
Yeah. And I understand, like, when someone's coming after you, of course you're gonna want to stop them. So, I get it, man.
Permanently stop them. He killed the whole fucking choir of kids. Like.
Yeah. I might have done the same thing, honestly.
Yeah.
And then Martin calls up his buddies and is like, yo, I killed this guy. So they put his body in the truck and roll it into the swamp. Ugh. That's just terrible.
Which, I understand. What do we do? Big truck, dead guy. Where do we go? We're black. He's white. This looks real bad.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where I really start questioning things. It's a swamp.
That's what I was gonna say. Like,
first of all, how hard did they really look for this guy?
Yeah.
There's a large body of water.
And a giant truck.
On his property.
Yeah.
Where he was last seen. Maybe. There are tire marks. They rolled the truck into the swamp. There are literally tire marks going directly into the swamp.
Well, we find out that the dude knew. Mayor Todd knew.
He found out. Right.
But at this point, I didn't. And so I'm like, okay, like,
this is fucking weird.
Really? Yeah. Like, that's the first place
I thought the same thing, too. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
they looked everywhere except right where.
They could have just abandoned the truck somewhere.
Right.
And or throw his body in the swamp.
Something.
the animals would eat him, you know? Yeah. Like, something
weird. It is weird. Also, the body's been in the swamp for a while.
Right.
I feel like it would have been way more. Yeah,
it's not like it's airtight in there. Like,
yeah.
I have some issues with that whole situation of that, too, so.
And I like when Sam or Dean is like, I forget which one it was, but they're like, why didn't you call the cops?
Yeah.
And her answer to this, kills me. It's overdramatic. She almost screams at him. She looks right at him. She's crying her eyes out. And she says, this was 40 years ago. What the fuck's that got to do with anything? Yeah. So what? The phone didn't exist 40 years ago?
No, what she's saying is they didn't
care.
Treat them right. Like, they were racist as fuck. And nobody would have helped.
I took it as, this was 40 years ago. How do you expect me to remember that? Like, I don't know. We just didn't. This was 40 years ago. How do I know?
That's
this
is weird. Like a whole I thought other you would lifetime. Have realized. Like, I thought you would have noticed.
I just took it as, what's wrong with you? This was 40 years ago. Why are you asking me that question now? I don't know. And I was like, okay, she's crazy.
No, I think it was.
Yeah, that's not at all what she meant.
That was weird. Like, okay. I was like, she's fucking weird. Why is she
she was
this?
Upset because it was an insensitive question. Yeah. She was like, fuck you.
Which apparently needs to be answered more fully, I guess.
Yeah, because I was like, well,
I thought it was obvious.
Well, I did too.
That's a dumb answer.
And she knows a lot about history, so I would think she would think so.
Like,
too,
what? But... Yeah, they had phones. There was a police force. Why didn't you pick up the phone and call the police? How dare you ask me that? This was 40 years ago. Okay. Sam and Dean decide, they're outside, and Mom's had her breakdown, and they're at the Impala, and they start talking about what they gotta do, and Sam is saying he misses regular life. And Dean's like, huh, yeah, regular, yeah. Uh-huh.
Sounds boring.
Yeah, like,
and Sam almost, says,
I hate it whenever he does this, because we already know, they're, okay, we get it. Dean's a badass rebel, but also follows the rules and does what his dad says, because loyalty. And then Sam likes the alternative lifestyle, which in this case is the more traditional lifestyle, which is going to school, hanging out with his girlfriend, living a normal, boring family life. So I get it. I get so tired of Dean pointing out that Sam's choice of lifestyle is boring and monotonous and lame.
And I liked Sam's quote right here. I wrote it down. Occasionally I miss boring.
Exactly.
That is me.
I mean, when you've had when you've had chaos in your life,
mm-hmm.
and your life has literally been survival mode 101, like you are like anxious and you've had a lot of trauma and there's a lot of things going on, boring is where it's at.
Yeah.
It's soothing, it's comforting, it's predictable,
mm-hmm.
it's healing and helpful. And I get so irritated every time Dean talks crap on it. Like, I'm so irritated by it. I'm like, ooh. And it just makes me not like him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, yeah, sounds boring. And he poo-poos all over it.
Especially, like, even if it's not your thing, you don't have to talk shit on it.
Right. Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, that's weird. I don't understand why you would want that, but okay.
Okay,
that's
all not, you have to say. Like, not for me.
I think
me.
He's trying to convince himself. At that point, too.
Yeah.
He's like, I like what we do. We save people.
Yeah.
It's good.
Exactly.
And so I don't think it's just, like, trying to talk down to Sam. I think it's talking down to himself, too.
And also, I think it's kind of like, he views it as, like, God, what's the word? Oh, I also think he views it as, like, defending their dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, well, this is the lifestyle that dad
gave
us. Yes,
and that's probably why it bugs me so much.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
But it's very true to character.
Like, you're defending that? Uh-huh. Like, he don't even care about you.
Yeah.
He don't even care that you call him screaming hysterical that you don't know what to do. He's not going to help you.
I think he cares. I just don't think he cares enough. And he's more selfish.
At this point, I would say it doesn't look like he cares at all.
To me, it doesn't look like he cares at all.
Yeah.
But I do like it when Sam says, when Dean says, huh, sounds boring. So, anyways, about this killer truck. And then Sam does this, like, scoff, like, huh, that is so real. It was just so real. It was, like, such a real conversation. And he says, I miss conversations that didn't start with, so about this killer truck.
I like the chemistry between Jared and Jensen. Like, they really seem like brothers.
From day one, too. Yeah. Like, it was really good.
They seem so comfortable with each other. And I love it.
So then they decide, well, you know what we gotta do? We gotta pull up that truck. We gotta burn them bones. And then we'll be free of this bullshit.
So what do?
They go.
And instantly find that truck.
Right away.
Pull it out in 2 seconds.
They pull it up.
In the middle of the night. With a heavy piece of machinery, which I wasn't clear on what that was. But, you know, just run over.
Some sort of tractor.
Run over and grab the tractor. Drive it on over to the exact spot where the truck is, where it's been for 50 years.
I mean, to be fair, they could have been searching and it just didn't show that part.
Yeah.
And it's in the middle of the night and it's making a whole lot of noise, I'm sure. No one's...
Well, it seems like it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then they do have big property. They said it was like 40 acres or whatever.
Then they salt it.
But here's my question. First of all, that door opens like smooth melting butter. After it has been in that swamp, in water.
The gases, I bet you, on the inside, forced it.
Right. The window was down.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Showed the right through the window. So the window was down.
How was the body even there then?
And maybe he made sure to put on a seatbelt before.
No, but like animals.
I don't know. But.
And the water.
This whole thing was ridiculous to me. That door would not have opened.
Yeah.
After 50 years under the water. That rusted ass metal. There's no way that door would have opened. Anyways, whatever. That's not my biggest problem with this scene. Why did they take the body out of the truck to burn it? I will never understand this. Why did they...
Not just do it in the truck.
First of all, that body's not going to be in one piece. What did they do?
Exactly.
Pull all the bones out and then reassemble it on the thing that they burned it on?
No, it was all stuck together still.
Which is...
When they pulled it out.
With what?
The skin? It looked leathery to me.
Yeah.
Which is not what water does.
No. And
it would be like, if there was anything left, it would be jelly. So as soon as you touched it would like mush in your hand. But even then, it's been so long, I don't think there would be anything left.
It would just be bones.
Yeah.
And not assembled like a body.
Like a skeleton.
Slimy.
Yes.
Slimy algae bones.
Yeah. And I will never understand why they didn't just throw the gas in there, throw the match in there, and burn that shit as is.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like such a waste of time and effort and everything to just... Because then they just ended up having to burn the truck anyways.
But they didn't burn the truck.
They didn't. They thought they were going to.
I guess maybe they needed to buy some more time.
So, after they salt and burn the body... They see the truck. Not the slimy swamp truck. The ghost truck.
Truck section.
The angry truck.
Grrr. Rumble, rumble.
So Dean decides, I'm going to lead it away. And you're going to light this swamp truck on fire.
And then, like, I don't know.
Sam's like, how the fuck am I supposed to do that? And Dean's like, you better figure it out, bitch.
Figure it out, college boy. I'm not the smart one. I'm the car racer.
And then he takes off, and the truck goes after him.
And Sam starts reading a map frantically.
And then dies.
The end.
And also starts reading his dad's journal.
No more supernatural. No.
Yeah. I was confused about this. Like,
why I'm like, did listen, this is not time journal? For a recap on the notes from the dad that doesn't give a shit about you. Okay? Please, focus here.
I guess they had to show somehow that he was having a different line of thought than Dean. But it was weird. Like, he should have already known that fact.
Maybe he just wanted to make sure. Yeah. That's why he checked the journal. So then...
he calls Cassie. And he's like, I need exact information.
No, Dean calls him first.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, Sam, is it on fire yet? And he goes, no, hold on. So then he calls Cassie. Sam calls Cassie.
Yeah.
And gets some information. I'm not really sure what the information is. It doesn't tell us.
I think it's...
where the church was.
Where the church was. And which, he's got the map, so... I don't know.
Well, maybe the map doesn't show where the church was, though. Because it's all...
maybe it's a more recent map.
Yeah.
So then, Sam tells Dean how to get to the church location, and the truck looks like it's gonna hit Dean, but it doesn't. It disappears.
Yep.
And again, I'm like, this is really, really a letdown, because I wanted it to be like, they do something
more
active to get rid of it, but it was just like, maybe this will work.
Well, that's why, like, this whole storyline was not even the focus. Like, it was all about Dean and Cassie from the beginning.
And then they just needed a ghost kind of thing to go with it.
Yeah.
So, Dean's bad.
Yeah, and he says, I'm gonna kill him. Which I thought that was pretty good.
And then...
it cuts to the next scene.
Which is saying goodbye to Cassie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dean says it's a better goodbye than last time, but Cassie says she doesn't see it working. Like,
yeah!
And I'm like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
I thought that was like, oh, okay.
I felt like it was real. Like, yeah, what are you gonna do? You're still going off to hunt these demons. Nothing's changed.
But she knew this from the beginning.
Do you think Sam drives away because Dean couldn't, because he would have been too sad?
I think Sam drives away because Dean was occupied, and so he just got in the driver's seat.
Oh, okay.
Fair. Yeah.
I just feel bad for Dean at this point.
I like... this is something I've noticed, that it always ends with just Sam and Dean.
Yeah.
Like, they... could have ended it with him saying goodbye to Cassie. And I feel like that would have been, like, the go-to ending. But I love that they didn't do that.
It showed them on the road. Because
ultimately, it's the show about their relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that,
too. And so I like how Sam, it cuts to Sam, and he's like, I like her. And, like, it's just real cute. Like, oh, yeah, I approve. I know I gave you a lot of shit, but she's cool.
And then Dean's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, you guys both said you didn't really like this episode. Are there any other reasons you want to say why, now that we've talked about all of it, or you think you pretty much covered it?
I think I pretty much covered it. It just felt disjointed and unnecessary.
Yeah, same for me. I feel like it was just, I didn't like the choppiness of it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot still that I felt like you were kind of left to fill in your own things, which is fine if it's like that. Like, I don't mind filling in my own stuff. It's just, it's not always accurate. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, wait, is that, that's what I assumed happened, but is that what really happened? And is that really why, like, the mom, That was 40 years ago.
Well, that I think was completely your fault. Like,
I think that was obvious. I think you were just tired. And, yeah.
And so I was like, well, what does she even mean? Like, what does that matter? But I just felt like it was choppy and not smooth and fluid. And normally I like the ones that focus. I like it whenever they focus more on, like, the human relationship stuff. But I felt like it just didn't do it for me.
It didn't hit right.
No, like I just felt like it was weird and off.
Yeah, something about it felt like they were trying too hard.
I think that's probably what it is.
To make it, because this is the first season, you know, they're trying to, like, appeal to a wider audience.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like, oh, we need some romance.
Or, like, maybe they didn't know exactly where they were going to lie with certain things. I didn't like the disjointedness, but I did like the historic aspect.
I think that was interesting. Cool. I wish it had
played
more into that.
I do, too. I feel that's part of it, too. I feel like they had this opportunity, and then they put in a sex scene. They
sidelined
it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What, there's so much more interesting stuff going on here. Let's talk about that. And, you know, I'm, like, all for the history of the 60s.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like, yeah, let's, oh, we're gonna get this? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel like it kind of downplayed the importance.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which, maybe that's okay when it's, like, a ghost scene, just a random fucking ghost, right? But when you add the racial elements and the historic significance,
that
I
should
feel
have
like
its
that
own
should
thing.
Have its own moment.
Yeah.
Because that's how I look at the shows, right? Like, I look at the shows as, like, a day or a brief time in their history, and then
and they had this chance, and they blew it.
Yeah.
It was kind of a letdown.
Yeah. And it wasn't, it didn't give it the importance it deserved, I don't think. I mean, I think they tried to acknowledge it.
Don't get me wrong,
yeah.
It was
and
nice to
that,
see it acknowledged.
But I feel like it could have been done so much better. Favorite characters?
I don't really like anyone in this one.
Yeah. I'm gonna pick Mayor Todd. He lost half his lip.
Shout out to Stubbins, because he had the coolest name. But my favorite character is Jared Padalecki.
Even though he's kind of goofy in this one?
Yeah.
Alright.
It shows his range. It shows his many facets.
I literally can't pick one. Like, I'm going through my notes and...
Okay, what about your least favorite character? You have one of those?
God, all of them.
I'm gonna say my least favorite was the mom. She got on my nerves.
You know what? I think that's weird. Because I think had you watched it at a different time, you would have totally understood why she was so emotional.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'll give it to you. I'm like, this episode should have got me. This should have been I should have had a completely different reaction.
But
something about it was still weird. Like, normally, I think I would have really liked that it showed the human aspect of the relationship between Cassie and Dean. But I didn't. I didn't like that at all. I think I would have liked the emotional reactions of the mom, but it felt so forced and weird. It felt awkward, and it felt like displaced. It felt like it didn't belong there, and it was
maybe
ridiculous.
Forced.
Very forced. Like, it just didn't feel right. And I'm not saying she wasn't a great actor, like, but I am saying the whole scene was off.
Mm-hmm.
The whole timing.
I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the writing or the acting.
I don't know what it
directing.
Was either, but it was, it just didn't give me my standard reaction.
So what about quotes? What quotes did you like?
My favorite was, occasionally I miss boring.
I like that part from the same scene. My favorite was when Sam said, I miss conversations that didn't start with, so this killer truck.
My favorite
stop
part.
Copying me.
My favorite part was when Sam and Dean are getting in the Impala to go salt and burn the bones.
Dean says, don't leave the house to Cassie.
Yeah.
And Cassie goes, don't go getting all authoritative with me. I don't like it. And then he goes, don't leave the house, please.
Mm-hmm.
And for two reasons. One, he's trying to help.
Yeah.
You know. Two, that's stupid. She's probably not going to leave the house anyway. And three, it's still authoritative because you say, just because you say please doesn't change the fact that you're telling her what to do. So,
and that's why Dean is trash.
If you want to reach out to us on social media, you can find us on Instagram at spn.the.family.business.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us again next week for Season 1, Episode 14, Nightmare, where we'll be watching stuff.
Saying things.
The family business.
Yeah!